Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
When I turn on the Morning Rush, I want to hear Ty at his best every single day.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorback.
Ty, fortunately, has saved the world and not yet procreated.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
Virus, natural disasters, racial tensions. It has not been good for a number of different reasons. But on Saturday, you finally got what seemed to be some good news when Isaiah Joe announced that he was coming back for his junior year. Now, I got the news. I'm sitting at Randall Ford doing a remote out there on Saturday. I get this notification on my phone from Mike Haywood, who's the basketball SID at the University of Arkansas. Said, Isaiah Joe and Eric Musselman announced that Isaiah is coming back. And in the floor, I spurted out loudly, let's go. And everyone kind of looked at me for a sec. Some salespeople came over. Some customers came over. And they're like, what's up? What's up? And I told them, Isaiah Joe is coming back. And in that moment, a bunch of people in that lobby got really, really excited. You could see the happiness on their face. And there's a really good story about Isaiah actually involving Randall Ford. He found out through the grapevine that one of the workers there was a huge Isaiah Joe fan, was her favorite player, Isaiah. And he's a Fort Smith guy, so that just got around. So he came in to the dealership and autographed it and took a picture and autographed it for her. And you could tell how happy that made her, or how excited they had. So not only are you getting an NBA caliber prospect, a potential first round pick, but an outstanding young man off the court as well. And I am so excited this morning with this great news. And if you haven't heard, I don't know what you've been doing because it has been all over the place. But Isaiah Joe is back for another season at the University of Arkansas. I was pretty shocked by this. And I knew the announcement had to be made before today because the deadline is today when it comes to players pulling their name out of the NBA and coming back to school. But it was a surprise that, of course, was exciting, brought happiness, brought not tears to my eye, but it, again, 2020 has just been so misfortunate for so many different people, particularly in Arkansas, and to see some good news for once this year had to be at least, it felt made you feel good for a little bit.
Yeah, we needed something good to happen, and you kind of knew if you've been following the story and paying attention. Sometime when we didn't know anything Friday, it felt like sometime over the weekend we were going to maybe get what we got, which was an announcement on social media or something from the university, some kind of communication to let us know one way or the other. And I felt all along here as we got closer and closer and closer that he was probably leaning towards coming back because it didn't seem like the more and more we read that it was overwhelming that you go. And I thought it was a little more 50-50. Now, that's pretty close. I mean, I think he could go and have success. I don't think there's any question about it. I think it's close enough. He comes back and he tries to build upon it. And I'm like you. We needed something great to happen. I'm excited about what it can mean for a second year of Musselman, what it can mean for what appears to be a final year for Isaiah Joe. I can't imagine he would have a fourth and final year as a senior. I just can't even imagine what that would be like. So I don't even think that's on the radar at this point. So enjoy what we're going to get in what will be his third and final year, and to include him with what appears to already be a roster with a ton of potential.
Let me read his statement for you this morning. Dear Razorback Nation, I've had an amazing couple years at the University of Arkansas. Just like being in the NBA, playing at this school that has been a dream of mine throughout my childhood. I couldn't ask for a better fan base, coaching staff, or teammates. I've created a bond with this place like no other. As most of you may know, I entered my name into the 2020 NBA draft back in April. The whole draft process has been an incredible experience, and I am honored to be in the position that I am currently in today. I have not signed with an agent, so I am blessed to have the option to come back to school if I were to choose so. I know that a lot of people have been waiting to hear my decision, but this is definitely one that should not be rushed. After all things considered, I've decided to play my next season at the University of Arkansas and continue my dream as a Hawk. I appreciate everyone who's been in my corner and supported me throughout my career and during this quarantine. With that being said, there's still a lot to be accomplished, and I believe it all starts here as an Arkansas Razorback. And a lot of times you get these statements, and you're like, oh, here it comes. Like, if you hadn't seen it on social media at this point, you're reading, and it's like, oh, where's the pain? And then there's no pain. It's only joy. And you're just like, yes, like, he's back. And the Razorback social media accounts did a fantastic job with the publishing and doing. I know Must had that little text video that you guys need to watch. Yeah. I mean, just a great job overall. And the fact that there was not a peep about this. I saw on a few message boards people say he's coming back, but it was like instantaneously before he announced mm-hmm. it. So good job on his camp keeping it tight, not letting the world know that it happened, because I hate it for the kid when someone breaks the story right before he gets to. That's his moment. Yeah, exactly. He should be able to do that. So
that's exactly right.
Really excited to see Isaiah in his junior year as an Arkansas Razorback. And as I mentioned before, with the story of him coming in to Randall Fort, just a good kid on and off the court.
And we're going to hear from both Isaiah Joe and Eric Musselman. They're going to do a Zoom press conference at 1:30 today. So maybe a little bit in halftime, but probably more likely Ruskin and Zach will have some of that for you later this afternoon. But it tells me, by word not leaking out, this was a decision probably made sometime, finalized Friday, maybe even as late as Saturday morning. I don't imagine this was something they'd been sitting on for a while. Probably deliberating and making that final decision well into late last week, early this weekend.
And it's
past weekend.
And it worked out again, because you want him to have his moment, that opportunity, and mm-hmm. just the excitement from Razorback fans when they saw that. Now, there's excitement that goes over the top. I've seen people put out, this is a Final Four team, this is an Elite Eight team, and you almost have to recalibrate and pump the brakes because you're coming off with the instantaneous joy.
Hey, where is the Final Four? Look that up for me.
That Isaiah Joe delivered quickly. But it's one of those things. Again, we're going to dive into a bunch of different topics concerning Isaiah Joe's decision and how that's going to impact Arkansas basketball, not only this year, but for years to come.
Let's just hope that that basketball is not impacted the way college football is being impacted right now with the events of the world going on. Let's hope all of this can get behind us over the next few months and we see a full season.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
He does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs!
Back to the Isaiah Joe conversation, which, again, if you haven't heard, Isaiah Joe is coming back for his junior year at the University of Arkansas. This is a guy that is a lethal three-point shooter. We're going to talk about coming up if he can catch Pat Bradley's record of 366 three-pointers made at Arkansas. But you look at his free throw percentage, and I didn't see this until I was on KenPom last night. Number one in the country this past season, shooting 96% in conference games. 96% from the free throw lines. Incredible stat. I mean, just incredible. This guy has taken 45 charges the last 2 years. We've talked about his offensive prowess, how he can just shoot the crap out of the ball. This guy gets after it on defense as well. Good at stealing the ball. He was second on the team in steals, and he missed 6 games this past year and played injured 5 of them. I mean, this is a guy that puts up statistic after statistic, not just behind the three-point line, but all over the place. Plus, he doesn't turn the ball over. Fourth best conference turnover rate in the SEC. He is so important for this basketball team. And that's what caused me to be behind this team in may or may not making the bet of this team's going to Sweet 16. I'm at least counting on that fact because of this kid, because of what he's been able to do at Arkansas and how the team looked without him last year.
And I don't think there's any question. He's the centerpiece, right? I mean, Musselman had one set of plans with him and one set of plans without him, and they're radically different. With him, everything you're doing, particularly on the offensive end, but I think as much defensively, goes through him. Who you're going to match him up on with your opponents changes dramatically with him on your team versus without him, because he's going to draw probably the best offensive player on the other team more often than not because of his ability to move laterally, his long arms, and his range, this guy is one of your better defenders, right? But I just think the way your team is constructed, the way you are going to set your team up is so much different. I know it's not just because of his talent, but the way you're going to run this offense is going to be so much different with him versus without him this year.
Yeah,
so.
And when you look at the additions, you heard from Danny talking about the depth now that's on this roster. Moses Moody is going to be one of the best freshmen. I know that the expectations were laid out from some Arkansas fans that expect him to be the SEC freshman of the year. This guy, it's just, I mean, over a 7 foot wingspan, is an incredible shooter, effortless when he gets to the rim, and just plays the game smooth. Like, there's certain guys that you watch on a basketball court that are smooth, that are fluid, that are just fun to watch. Moses is going to be one of those guys. Then you add in some good grad transfers in Jalen Tate, who's going to be Jimmy Witt-esque. That's the best way you could probably describe him, how he gets after it on both ends of the floor, long, lanky, and just plays that type of game. Justin Smith, who has a 48-inch vertical like Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan had a 48-inch vertical. And then Vance Jackson, who at 6'9", has the ability to stretch the floor as well. And then, I mean, the other freshman we could talk about, plus Desi Sills, who might have been the best player in the SEC the second half of last season, the way he was playing off the bench. I mean, just unbelievable how he was able to do, like, able to transform. And then I think Ethan Henderson has really gotten lost in the shuffle. Like, when I'm looking at these starting lineups, when I'm looking at who's coming off the bench first, I'm not seeing any mention of Ethan at all, yeah. Which I think it's important to bring up that he really played well down the stretch of last season. Now, I know we were talking about the offseason dealing with this stuff with a woman and like the restraining order and stuff and all that was going on, but I think people have really forgotten about Ethan and how he just really performed at the latter part of the last season.
What did he start? 5 or 6 games? 4 or 5? I forget the number of games he started, but I mean, this was a guy that went from limited playing time, no playing time, to starting lineup. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's I'd be surprised if he isn't in the mix somewhere for some serious minutes on this team. We spent very little time on this just because there was so much football conversation last week, but a couple of injuries announced last week.
Baby Ola's torn his ACL.
He's out extended amount of time. JD Notay's got a wrist injury a couple of weeks, so that one's probably not as severe and not going to probably take any season away from him. How does the big guy being out, I mean, we've been talking about how do you get this rotation down from 13 guys to, you know, we know that Musselman likes it probably 9 or 10 guys. I guess this helps in that regard some way, but how does it seems like you got enough big guys that maybe this doesn't have the effect that you think, but what kind of bearing or what kind of effect do you think this has on this team for a guy that was with you last year, was on a transfer or sit-out year, and now here he is going to be injured?
I don't think Aola is going to crack the rotation. I didn't think he was going to crack the rotation. That's my opinion. I don't necessarily have just solid evidence to back that up. That's just my opinion. Now, again, I feel for the kid. I've torn my ACL. I don't want anyone to have to go through that type of injury. I don't know. I don't think, and again, it's just an opinion, I don't think it's going to affect him that much when you have other guys, especially at the big position, that I think will fill in admirably. Now, with Note, why I think it's important for Note is because he's one of the guys that I think is trying to get a starting spot. And from just different sources that I've talked to within the basketball program, dude was showing out in practice this past season. But he has not been to fall camp because of this injury. He's out 2 to 3 weeks, as Tommy mentioned. So you're not set back because you're not technically in practice yet. But you know as well as I do, any practice, any rep, I mean, that's reps you're not getting. Yeah. That's reps you're missing. So for JD, hopefully he comes back fully healthy and gets back into everything because he wants to get back in the system. And again, he's here this last year, so it's not like he's having to learn new terminology or learning a completely new system. But you want every work. You want to be able to attend every workout. You want to be able to attend every bit of training camp you can, and unfortunately at this point he hasn't been able to do that.
You know what sucks for both of these guys is you busted your butt last year in practice knowing you weren't going to get a minute, and you know, here you are, time to go. And at least for Note, you know it's a wrist injury that's, you know, listed as 2 to 3 weeks. For Bebe, it's probably your season. You know, you're done.
No, I mean, he's not there. Yeah, like, I would be shocked if he can. Like, ACL, I guess it depends, because I've, like, craziest thing I've heard is there people have come back ACL injuries 3 to 4 months. So I was allowed to start back after 7, but the recovery time on an ACL injury is 6 to 9 is typically what the doctor tells you. Now, some people are further along than others. Some people respond quicker. I don't anticipate, baby. And again, this is like I'm fortunate that Dr. Gordon did a fantastic job with mine, because a lot of times, Tommy, unfortunately, people re-tear their ACL. Like Colin Hill, the Colorado State quarterback who Arkansas played, he torched his, I think, 3 times. So that's just an excruciating injury that you don't want to have to go through.
Unfortunately, this is part of the game. And then, you know, when Eric Musselman talks about trying to figure out rotations and playing time, this is part of what factors into it, are players with longer-term injuries. So this is one piece that kind of goes into the puzzle of figuring out who's going to get the minutes. Well, here's one guy that unfortunately has probably eliminated himself from minutes because he's got a serious injury.
Yeah, so that's something to think about. And when you look at this lineup on the floor, at times this season, we'll get into who you think should start coming up here on the Morning Rush with Isaiah coming back. There's going to be times where there will be 4 or even 5 guys on the floor that can shoot it. Now, not to the degree of Moses or Isaiah, but can still shoot the basketball. And that's important for spacing purposes, because it seems like at time offensively, you were limited last year with just Mace or just Isaiah if they're on the court at once. Desi really wasn't having a good strong start to the year. Started like, I think, 1 for 26. It was a crazy stat, and then he was able to really transform that and become the player he became down the stretch of last season. But these are going to be guys that can shoot it all over the floor, which is going to be awesome to watch in Eric Musselman's offense this upcoming year. And now, with Joe coming back for his junior year, with the anticipation, with the excitement for Arkansas basketball, this is the most anticipated basketball team since fill in the blank.
Ooh. Yeah. How far do you go back? I mean, when's the last time you were probably this loaded, 8 or 9 deep? When's the last time you had a recruiting class this heralded?
I initially thought of the 2014-2015 team. That's what I initially thought. Now, some people will say, oh, that this team's better, you got to go back to the 90s or whatever. And listen, I'll hear that argument, but you can't just kind of gloss over how good that 2014-2015 was.
Now, you got Isaiah Joe back, but really, what else do you have? I mean, a lot of this is based on potential and hype, because you got, what, 3 players back and one that's your centerpiece here with Isaiah Joe, but the rest of it's based on Desi Seals, who came off the bench, and Ethan Henderson, who had a handful of starts. The rest of it's on transfer players that set out last year or a tremendous recruiting class that's highly heralded, but it's all based on potential. So this isn't a group of guys that, you know, made the Sweet 16 last year or was a shot. This isn't the North Carolina, the group that got to the wire with North Carolina last year that's coming back, or this isn't, you know, proven stuff on the floor. This is mainly potential, other than Isaiah Joe, right? See where I'm coming from on that?
I think Desi has to be included in that conversation, and to an extent, Ethan, but no, you are right.
Well, I mean, you got three players that had played.
That's it.
It's
fair. So, I mean, it's a matter of if you believe these freshmen are worth the hype, if you believe these grad transfers are going to come in. And again, this is not going to be a seamless transition, I don't think, this year. These guys, especially with the coronavirus and everything going on, it's going to take some time. This is not going to be a team out of the gate that's going to be one of the best in the country. I just don't see that happening. Chemistry does not just happen overnight like that. Now, again, we've mentioned in the past, KK and Moses played together. Devontae and Jalen were on the same AAU team. These guys have played with or against each other in AAU for some time, but you're also adding in grad transfers. You're also adding in players that didn't play this last season. It's going to be important for the chemistry to be established early. But that is a good question. Answer it this morning. 877-377-6963. This is the best Arkansas basketball team, the most anticipated Arkansas basketball team since. I said 2014-2015 was the one that originally came to mind, but I could be argued and persuaded into going back to a 90s team. Now, which one, I don't know, but the anticipation for this basketball team is off the charts, and it's not just within the Arkansas fan base. We're going to talk to Bobby Regan, who covers college basketball, coming up here at 8 o'clock, and he knows, and he's not initially excited, but he knows the value and the potential of this basketball team. Arkansas has been on numerous top 25 list, whether it's Jeff Goodman, whether it's John Rothstein, Gary Parrish, some of the best college basketball analysts in the industry. Consistently, they pop up in the top 25, but it was contingent upon if Isaiah Joe came back. Well, Tommy,
He's back. He is back.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a light and flavorful beer for those easy drinking occasions.
The crowd's into it. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ballgame.
Matt and Dallas already texted in on this subject. I think Joe is going to be the guy early on. But as the season progresses, I think Moses Moody will be the guy that gets the ball down the stretch if he's as good as advertised as he is. And the thing about both guys, they come across as unselfish, not only on the basketball court, but off the basketball court as well. And I'm really curious to see how much taking away this past season that Eric Musselman and his staff does with Mason Jones, what they did. I don't think that Isaiah is going to be used in the exact same way that Mason was, not only because I think they have similar different skill sets at times. I know they can both shoot and stuff, but Mason's a little thicker, can get to the rack a little better. But I'm curious with Isaiah, like, how does Mush use him in relation to how he used Mason this past season? Clay, I'll let you start, and Tommy, you get on this too. What kind of offense do you think is it going to be centered around Isaiah, Clay, or how do you think they're going to go about it this season?
Well, that's what I do. I think that's what we all would say. And then there's so many young players that it's hard to figure which one will emerge as a consistent scoring threat. We know the talent that Moses Moody has, and we watched him play last year with really a very complimentary team that, you know, had good pieces everywhere. In fact, there were guys coming off the bench that were really top players. Mm-hmm. So they could move the ball around. And that's what you would like to do. That's the perfect world. And if you go back to the 94-95 teams, you couldn't predict who was going to get the last shot because it was, you know, they had clutch guys all through that team. And we have to wait and see on this group who else besides, say, Isaiah and Moody, you know, emerge as being consistent threats. And if that's the case, then you take what the defense gives you. You know, they're not – if they double Isaiah to take the ball out of his hands, and that's what I would do, then somebody's going to be open. And, you know, that guy suddenly gets to be – you know, there was a few games last year where it looked like the other team wanted Jalen Harris to be the guy to take the shot, and he didn't want to take it except maybe once or twice. And so, yeah, that's what has to play out. It's how do the other teams defend them? And if they play two on Isaiah, it will open up somebody else, and we'll see.
Yeah.
And I would encourage Arkansas basketball fans listening right now with the NBA back, watch the Milwaukee Bucks. Eric Musselman has said several times that they're trying to implement similar style, similar offense. Connor Vanover, Brooke Lopez kind of have similar skill sets as far as big man can shoot. But the question I have is they play really – Mike Budenholzer plays really team basketball. They got Wesley Matthews. They got Giannis Antetokounmpo, Pat Connaughton. I mean, they have a good basketball team, and they are the number one team in the East right now for a reason. But what happens late in games is though Giannis Antetokounmpo had a bad play last night against the Rockets, he takes over the game, and he gets the ball in ISO situation and takes over. I'm wondering – and again, you mentioned Moses Moody's skill set, Clay – I'm wondering when it gets down to crunch time, and maybe it's Isaiah early on, but I'm curious to see if Moses gets into that category of taking crunch time plays or getting crunch time isolation plays called for him this upcoming season. Because I'm telling you guys, Clay, you mentioned Montverde, number one team not only this year, in the past decade of high school basketball. Cade Cunningham, number one player of the country at Oklahoma State, a bunch of others, and you mentioned the ones off the bench. This guy was a complimentary piece, so he has shown the ability to be both a complimentary, and I'm wondering when he gets to Arkansas, is he going to transform into the number one guy with Isaiah Joe on campus? That's the question that a lot of people have. I mean, it's a good problem to have if you're Eric Musselman, that you have two guys that you think, man, both these guys look like they could take over late at the end. And again, Moses is at high school level, college is a lot different, but he was playing elite high school level talent at Montford. I'm very curious to see if he can quickly get acquainted with college basketball, especially at the SEC level.
Yeah, one of the aspects of this particular question is, can Isaiah consistently put it on the floor and get to the rack? Because it isn't just about, okay, we're going to pass him the ball and he's going to shoot it from 28. You have to be able to do the things that the defense is allowing. If they're on you so tight you can't get that shot, then you have to get a foul or you have to put it on the floor. And that's not his strength. It was better last year than it was as a freshman. If it takes another jump and he can put it on the floor and go either direction with either hand, well then, yeah, I think he's the one that gets that. He's the one the plays will be set up for if he can do that. But it's, you know, and I've just seen little clips of Moses. He can put it on the floor and create. Mm-hmm. That's what you have to be that end of game player or end of shot clock player.
And I think we saw Isaiah this past season, Clay, show a little more of that he had a few dunks. You're like, whoa.
Yeah, that's
like,
what I just said.
Yeah, like that, and he showed more of that, but it's still the question of, can he even take it to the next level? Because as I mentioned, I mentioned that, you also are now becoming the guy. You weren't the guy when Daniel was here. You weren't the guy when Mason was here. You're now asked and tasked, and it wears on you being not only the leader, but the guy that everyone's looking to make a play or make a, and I'm curious to see. I think he's going to do it. We've had Sam Fazzini on with The Athletic that thinks he can do it. We've had several other college basketball people who's like, he can be the guy. Now it's just a matter of, dude, everyone thinks you can. The floor's yours.
Yeah. You mentioned the Milwaukee Bucks and watching them. Another phrase that Clay Mosier used when talking with some folks the other night on a Zoom call was positionless basketball and interchanging players and the way they're going to work with the high screens and try to get the flow of this offense. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how maybe the lineups change as the opponents change. I really can't see very many games where Isaiah Joe and Moses Moody don't start. But I could see some games where maybe your fours and your fives are different players, where a Vanover's not starting one game, but he is starting the next based on who your opponent is and who the matchup is. I think a Jalen Tate is probably one of the guys they really like what they saw early on because of his ability to run the point and his ability to defend. I think he's a player they're really looking hard at there, along with maybe a Desi Seals, but Seals is also a guy that comes off the bench really well. But I think there's a real possibility, and we get caught up in who comes off the bench first or the players that start the game. I think you're going to see maybe some different lineups this year if you had a full season, just based on who you're playing and what works best that night with the five players you're going against.
Yeah. you and I were talking about that during the break out about it, but like, I think it's a matter of matchup situation. There was times last year where he ran different matchups and stuff based on who they were playing, and I think when you look at this team, there's a lot more options. Obviously, they can go small if they want. They can go big and one. Mm-hmm. I know next segment we're going to talk about who we think will start this upcoming basketball season, and I look at our just must having just these. They can go big, they can go small, they can do a bunch of different things this upcoming year. And again, the spacing, the positionless basketball that you refer to with Clay Mosier talking about that is fun. It's exciting. It's the level. If you watch, I mean, the Golden State Warriors, you think about how many guys on the floor at times that they have four or five shooters. I know they've been injured and stuff, but think about like them when they were just killing it. I mean, that was a big deal. That is so hard to defend. That is so hard to guard, and you didn't necessarily have that last year. It took Desi basically half a season to figure out his shot. Mason was kicking on all cylinders basically the whole time, but Isaiah being out six games, missing or playing injured for five, it just wasn't the same caliber of basketball team. And if you look at this past season with Isaiah Clay, look at how he impacted the team when he was playing injured and off the floor. I mean, they were not the same basketball team when he was out those six games. They were not the same basketball team when he was playing hampered. So that goes to show you how much of an impact. We can talk about offense. We can talk about shooting. We can talk about how he opens the floor all he wants. Clay, he led the team last two seasons with charges, had 45 over the course of 2 years. At one point was top 10 in the SEC in steals. second in that category this past year on the basketball team. This is a guy that gets after it on both ends of the floor. His impact is not just on one end. He's a two-way player, and that's why Musk loves him so much.
Yeah, and that's why you can make him the leader of the team, because he does all the little things that are required to be a good player. And it happens some, but it's rare for your best offensive player to also embrace defense. And his intellect for the game is off the charts, and that's why he's, I would suspect that he'll make another jump this year as far as overall just being able to make plays on offense. And I think that the sky's the limit as far as what his scoring average could be, because you're taking away a lot of shots from Mason Jones. I mean, let's face it. There were times when, okay, you got Isaiah Joe out there, but he's not getting the ball because it's going to go through Mason. And I don't think he complained about that. I think he understood it and embraced, that concept that this is how we're going to play offense. Mm-hmm. But there were a lot of times it's like, okay, if I want to score, I'll go get the ball defensively and I'll take it down and I'll lay it up or I'll dunk it. And he understood it. And I think that, the danger is some of these guys that are coming in that were the guy for their high school teams, they're going to have to embrace different roles. They're not going to be that guy. And they all have to improve their shooting and to be that Golden State Warrior type offense, or at least that threat. I'm not sure how well these guys are going to shoot it on the threes. Vance Jackson's transfer. His three-point shooting was just okay in New Mexico, right? I mean, he's got to shoot it better to stay on the floor the minutes he wants to play. And that's a guy that we hadn't talked about that could be really a dominant player for this team.
Mm-hmm. Especially at 6'9", it provides that versatility that you really like if you're Eric Musselman. It's like a Caleb Cody Martin type where long, lanky, can shoot it. So that's going to be interesting to watch. Clay, you weren't on with this early on, but you were talking about Isaiah. Just seems comes across as a high-character guy. I told the story. I was at Randall Ford on Saturday, and Isaiah found out through the grapevine that one of the workers there, her favorite player was Isaiah Joe. And as a Fort Smith kid, he just apparently found out, went into Randall, took a picture, autographed it, and gave it to her. So, I mean, just from the stories I've heard, I have a couple friends that went to Northside. They speak nothing but good things about Isaiah on and off the court. You mentioned kind of his family aspect with he's got a little brother, Jacob, who can hoop too, apparently. But he just comes across, and I like listening to him at press conferences because he comes across as a humble guy. He's a little shy, it seems like to a certain extent, but I really enjoy listening to him and having that conversation. 877-377-6963, the number to call or text in. Going to the phone lines, welcoming in Rod, who's on I-40, wants to talk about Arkansas basketball. Rod, you're on the Morning Rush.
I know you bet your money on it, and I'm going to write this down, and I'm going to agree with Ty. I believe we have the talent level, and if Cal can do it on one and done, I guarantee you Musselman dealing with the NBA deals with new faces every single year. And, I'm going to put Moses Moody down low, and I'm going to put Isaiah Joe on the wing, and I'm going to go inside out, outside in. At least people don't know where I'm coming from. I think they got the chance to go way far.
I think you're 100% right. Rod, appreciate the call this morning. Yeah, you look at just with Isaiah and Moses, just the positionless basketball that Tommy talked about, the versatility. There are so many guys on the floor that you think are going to be able to do certain things. Clay, you mentioned the chemistry-wise, the players taking new roles. So Moses was not the star of that Montfort team. Jalen was the star of Fort Smith Northside. Devontae was the star of Jacksonville. KK was not initially a role player, but one of the better guys on Oak Hill. So these guys, and again, KK and Moses had played together growing up. Devontae and Jalen were on the same AAU team, so they played with each other and stuff. It's going to be very important for the chemistry of that locker room that these guys get along or hanging out on and off the court. From what I've heard, it seems like the freshmen are really trying to hang out as much as possible, which is important, again, because you want that cohesiveness on the basketball team. And I know when the news broke that Isaiah released and said, I'm coming back, these players are really excited, and obviously because they're getting a piece and stuff. But when it comes to the minutes and stuff, when you crunch, now we've talked about how Bebe Ola is out for the season, it looks like, with the torn ACL. JD Notte is out a couple weeks with his wrist injury, hadn't been able to go through training camp to this point. When it gets down to the meaty part of the season and stuff, and guys aren't getting the minutes they expect, or they're not playing as much, I'm really curious to see how they react to that. Because some of the guys have been stars on their team for quite some time. Other guys have played more of a role. How do these guys get acquainted with each other when it comes to this basketball team? That's going to be an important aspect that I don't know if enough people have talked about. With as much hype as on this team this upcoming season, how do these guys get...
How many players can be as close to 20 minutes as possible?
Yeah, it's a good question to ask.
There's only 200 minutes in a regulation in a 40-minute game.
And like Isaiah's improvement-wise, I mean, he has improved all over the place. You go from his freshman year jump to this past season, improved 3 points per game. His defense has gotten better. He's improved his pull-up game a little bit. We saw some of the dunks that we were talking about earlier. This guy is going to be first-team All-SEC. Can he be the SEC player of the year that Mason was? Now, he doesn't have to do it the exact same way Mason did, but can he be in that conversation? Can he be that guy this upcoming year? Where it's, and I don't know, I mean, he's not going to get a unanimous selection or anything for that, but you want him to be in that similar conversation to be SEC player of the year. And I think he's going to, Clay. It's just a matter of if he lives up to expectations.
Yeah, I think the everybody's talking about offense. And that's a mistake, because what they really hang their hats on with Eric Musselman's team is their defense. And that's the core of it. It's the core of what Eddie Sutton did with his basketball. It's the core of what Nolan Richardson did. And, you know, to me, the aspect of this team is if it has to develop and has to change from last year's team, it is – how are they going to play defense with Connor Vanover playing center? Mm. And unless he has improved dramatically in his lateral foot speed, he can't do the things that Adriel Bailey did on the five, mm-hmm. and which is switch and play all ball screens and dominate balls. They dominated ball screens, and they just took that out of everybody's offense. If you played Arkansas, your practices were really, really ramped up in what are we going to do, because they're taking the core of our offense out of our game. I don't think they can do that with Vanover. He's not going to be able to switch and move and go to the rim with a point guard. Yep. And I don't know exactly how they're going to do it. Maybe they play some zone. And then if you do that, are you going to be vulnerable to the three-point shot, which yep. they were not last year. They were the best three-point defensive team in the country. So that, to me, in a nutshell, is what this team will be about. It's not about the things we've been talking about for the last 45 minutes.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and I don't see Eric Musselman getting away from man-to-man defense for exactly what you just said, defending the perimeter and defending the three, because that is
3-point shot is so important.
It's
now
a big thing. It is. It's the game is about two things. It's about shooting a three or getting a dunk. And he's not going to deprioritize defending the perimeter. It's big to him, and it's a way to win basketball games. And Arkansas was one of the best teams in the country defending the three. It's the way you win games today.
And they made people beat them with the mid-range jumper. Mm-hmm. Did not let him get to the rim. By and large, with a small team, they did not let the second shot beat them. Now, you can point to the LSU game at Baton Rouge and a couple of other games, but by and large, they won an awful lot of games by not mm-hmm. allowing second shots with a small team or the three-point shot. No open threes.
Clay, you bring that up, and Tommy and I were discussing starting lineup during the break. Here's what I'm of the opinion of. I think Connor is going to start initially, and if Jalen gets his head right, and if he figures out the offense and figures out Musa's system and stuff, I anticipate that he eventually take Connor's spot because I think Jalen is better offensively, or not maybe not to the level of Connor, but he provides a better on both ends of the floor. I'm just under the assumption, again, and now we know Connor's put on some weight. We know that he's a good three-point shooter and stuff. I'm just of the belief that he does not have the lateral foot speed and quickness to play the type of defense. And I know that they're going to have to change some stuff up. Must has talked about that already. I don't know if liability is the right word on defense, but Arkansas is going to be hurt by some of just his lack of athleticism on that. And I know they're going to try and do different things with the ball screen and stuff. There's going to be less switching and stuff like that. But I think that's something that's going to cause, not concern, but Musk and the staff are going to look at that and say, we have to figure this out. And with the lineups and stuff, I'm also curious with this upcoming roster because you've talked about you actually have size now. You can go big and stuff. Is there going to be times this season where you see Jalen and Connor on the floor at the same time, or Connor and Ethan on the floor at the same time, or Jalen and Ethan on the floor? Is that going to be times where you see two big men on the floor? You rarely saw it last year with Adriel and Reggie, or Ethan and Reggie, or Ethan and Adriel, but are they going to do that more this upcoming season? We'll get in that conversation next year, but it's going to be fascinating to see how these practices go. And unfortunately, the other thing we have to think about, guys, got a text in here from the 479, not to be a wet blanket, but how confident are we going to be that there's basketball this season? I think there's going to be basketball, but I think we might have to wait a little bit until there's a full Budweiser Arena, which is a bummer because if that's the case, the most anticipated basketball team since fill in the blank, there's a chance that they don't get to see a full Budweiser Arena until, I don't know. Like,
how football goes will determine how basketball
exactly
goes. How we progress through a football season will determine a lot of what the ground rules for basketball season will be, Clay.
Yeah, and I think that we get into basketball season at some point, you're going to start to see the population get a vaccine, and then things change. So I think as we get into January, February, March, I think there'll be full arenas. I mean, that's my expectation.
Yeah, and we'll just see how things unfold. I think the progress we hope to see in football season will determine number of games and size of crowds, to say the least.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade with half the sugar and carbs of Mike's Hard.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time we're coming for the whole damn thing.
So this past Valentine's Day, you were on a trip with Mrs. Laura, and Clay and I did the show, and we did a segment on Valentine's Day.
Right.
And Clay, one of the points that you made is when I eventually start dating someone and get to the point of marriage or married or whatever, you said poetry is the key to the heart. So one of the crushes I have right now is with Madison Pruitt, who is a former Bachelor contestant who we've talked about a couple different times on this program. And she put out on social media this quote that said, "Roses are red, violets are blue. Whoever finishes his best, dinner for two." And so Orange gave me a hard time because I texted my little sister about, hey, what's a cute, funny rhyme that I should come up with this? And she sent me in a couple. And Orange was giving me a hard time because I apparently asked my little sister. Apparently that's like, apparently that's bad. It's not.
Well, they're not originals. They're not from your heart.
Oh, 100% they're not. I am forthcoming about that information. But Clay, I want you to judge. I got five of them
here.
What
would Madison think about that?
She would think it's cute that I asked my little sister. That's what at least I would hope. Clay, I'm gonna read these off, and I want you to judge these before we get in. Rate them 1 to 10, okay? Roses are red, violets are blue. I'd say War Eagle for dinner with you. 1 to 10.
One.
Well, is that a high side?
I thought that was better than one.
Is one the best or is the worst?
No, I mean you're not gonna pull out something. Even I know that is suggesting that Auburn is not their war chant is not something you want to use, but just the fact that you did means it's the bottom of the scale. So move on off that one.
Okay, second one. Roses are red.
You asked me. I'm just telling you.
No, that's fine. Roses are red. Violets are blue. I haven't found my soulmate, but my bet is on you.
Mm. I think that's a six.
Oh,
that's better. Much
higher.
Better.
Okay. Roses are.
I wouldn't throw that one out yet. Yeah.
Okay. This is my favorite one that Summer gave me. Roses are red, violets are blue. Basketball's a game, but to your heart, I'd stay true.
That's better. That's even better.
I'd say seven. We're not there yet, though.
Okay. Roses are red, violets are blue. I don't have a TikTok, but I dance for you.
Is TikTok still up, or they shut that down?
That's an eight.
Wow. Yeah, okay, I'm surprised you gave it TikTok an eight. I say that the other one's my favorite. This one's actually my favorite. Roses are red, violets are blue. I'd foul on the court, but only to protect you.
A little more creative. Yeah.
I like the other one. That's probably seven.
Okay, so the TikTok one. I would have not guessed that Clay goes with the TikTok one first. So I honestly.
Well, I just say because of current, you know, something that's like hipster. You know, that's a little hipster, right? TikTok is kind of new and out there, and I think TikTok is not a great thing to be doing. So I kind of go with. That would be really far out if I would do a TikTok because of you. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm not. I think I've made two TikToks in my entire life. One is when my buddy turned 25. The other was Tommy was doing a Kenny Chesney impersonation. So both were fantastic. All right. Let's get into it. It is the best and worst of the weekend.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
We the best.
This is the worst.
It's time for the best and worst of the weekend.
JT in Hot Springs chimes in real quick before we get on to this. Roses are red, violets are blue. I have no game, but I love you. That's true.
Be better.
That's true. Yeah. We're being honest. So, best and the worst of the weekend. Got a text in here from the 479. The worst of the weekend for him was no Cardinals baseball. Yeah, I know.
That was my worst of the weekend.
The majority of our audience. So, I'll let you dive into it. Worst of the weekend?
My worst of the weekend, if I was going to watch any baseball, it would have been... The Cardinals. Worst of the weekend might have been, and I just saw the headline, did not watch this game. I just saw this on Twitter, so I'm not going to take a deep dive here. But did you see, what was it, the Clippers and the Pelicans? Did you see this halftime score? It was like 77-32.
Oh.
How do you, it's not the 32 that's the problem. It's the 77. I saw Jimmy Dykes like retweeted this score. How do you give up 77 points in a half? And the point was also being made, they pretty much invented like this 8-game cherry on top to the regular season so the Pelicans could kind of get in there and maybe have Zion out. They invented this whole thing just for him, right?
Yeah,
just for this team, for the possibility of him. And you turn in a 77-32 halftime score. That has to be the worst of the weekend, right?
Oh man, that's a bad look. All right, so my worst of the weekend, and this comes back to my millennial. I'll give myself crap for this. I decided, and I was working here all day Thursday. I didn't leave till after 5 here on Thursday. I forgot to get my stuff dry cleaned for the wedding I was at this weekend. And so when I left work on Friday, I called, I'm not kidding when I say this, I called like 8 different dry cleaners here in Fort Smith, and all of them told me the same thing. We're done dry cleaning for the day, we're on tomorrow. And I was like, well, ma'am, can...
What time? You did this on Friday?
Yeah, around 12.
Oh,
something.
No, you gotta have in by 10. You gotta be in by 10.
Yeah, whatchamacallit. So I called and they all told me the same thing. Sorry, sir, our person's left. We're done for the day. I was like, ma'am, is there any way I could pay extra to have it done? They're like, no, can't. So the groom calls me yesterday, T, and was giving me a hard time about it because I put it out on social media. It's like, hey, man, I'm at the dry cleaners picking up your stuff. And I was like, hardy har, hardy har. And so I ended up just throwing my dress shirt in the dryer just to because apparently that unwrinkles stuff. What I didn't realize... there's a massive yellow stain on the back of it. And I'm so angry because I get there and I think I'm looking good or whatever. I have my roommate who's actually somewhat stylish pick out and throw stuff, my ensemble together. I was like, okay, I'm actually going to look somewhat decent at this way.
I saw a picture of you and it looked better than I was expecting based on your tweet.
That's the best way to characterize it. And then I get there and we're standing up or whatever. And one of my buddies goes, Ty, you know you got a big yellow stain on there. And they like to screw with me. Like, I'm the classic get screwed with guy at the friend group. I'm like, shut up, dude. It's like, no, really. And so, and they point to it exactly. And so I go to the bathroom and I see it. I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like, are you kidding me? So,
like, you had this mustard stain on.
Yeah, who knows what it was. But word of advice, y'all, and I know everyone listening probably knows this, don't wait the day before a wedding to get something dry cleaned. So that was my idiotic lack of, it's more lots of ignorance, but my fault on this weekend. So that's probably my worst of the weekend. Clay, what about you, man? What was your worst of the weekend before we get into the best?
Yeah, this was pretty bad. I was sweeping off the back. We had family coming over for a special dinner celebration, and I cleaned off, swept the back porch, and I moved this double rocking chair, and I didn't understand that there was a wasp nest underneath that rocking chair, and three wasps went on my bare ankle. And I got stung. And I mean, it wasn't just one. It was three. Now, I will say this. There are no wasps anywhere around my house anymore. I waged war on the wasp. I had three cans of spray. Any place there could possibly be a wasp nest got sprayed.
Anything that happened in that moment fit for print?
I screamed. Yeah, I did. I mean, I don't know what the word was that, you couldn't print it. There's no doubt,
I can only imagine.
And, I went around with a swollen, fat ankle. One wasp sting probably wouldn't have done it. Two might have made it swollen, but three, it was just three little dots.
Benadryl.
There's one dot still there. And it might have a stinger in it. I've tried to see if there's a stinger still down in there. Because it's still, kind of a little angry dot. But that was the worst. Yeah, I don't know if you can get much worse than three wasp stings unless you get four or five. Yeah.
I remember at one point in time, it was up to ninth grade, I didn't swear. I had the cleanest, the purest of vocabularies, and then went downhill after that. I'm just surprised I can keep it together.
Wasp stings will
invoke a response that is not fit for print, fit for air, regardless if it's on TV.
That test Billy Graham.
Exactly. All right, best of the weekend. So, best of the weekend, Tommy knows a lot of different people here and at this wedding this weekend. Tim, who's actually a listener of the Morning Rush, listens every day. If you're hearing this, Tim, it was funny. He told me last time I saw him to tell you hi, and I forgot to, so I texted you that night. But, Tim, you got yourself a heck of a son-in-law, dude. Just good reigning this weekend. I had never... Like, when we were initially told the wedding was in Lamar, I was just kind of curious and stuff. But they had a beautiful... Tia picked out, like, a beautiful spot. It overlooked Lake... I think Lake Dardanelle is what it was. But it was a beautiful... It was awesome wedding. Great backdrop and everything. Tim, you got a great son-in-law, man. That's the best I can say. And appreciate you listening to the Morning Rush. And glad that you know Tommy just like I do. So he wanted to make sure he said hi. And then you were like, yep, make Coach...
Good guy.
Make sure Coach... here's that I said hi as well. So good all around weekend, even though I had a stain on my shirt.
Yep. And even though you showed up soiled to the wedding.
It's so irritating. Like I always have the intent of dressing nice and stuff that I don't know, it just doesn't happen sometimes. Mm-hmm. So
my best of the weekend is I added to the cooking collection this weekend, and we got a Blackstone griddle at the house. One of these, I've kind of moved away from one of the gas grills that we used for quick cooking, and we've got one of these griddles that a lot of people have gotten during this pandemic. So got to cook. I think we cooked every meal this weekend on it. But my favorite was cooking breakfast yesterday morning, which actually occurred around noon. And I think I've discovered a new way to cook a lot of cool stuff. So this weekend we had, we kind of broke it in with, just some burgers and simple stuff. Breakfast was on it. Then we did some Asian food last night, some chicken fried rice and some stir fry. Woo! And so I'm really excited. As the best of the weekend was new cooking, some new cooking fun at the house with a new griddle.
Yeah, you sent us a great picture on. That picture was salivating on Saturday. I mean, look at that.
Yeah.
So we're gonna have to take advantage of that. All right, Clay, real quick, what is your best of the weekend, man?
Well, I'm going to go cooking as well. I mean, and I enjoyed watching the PGA Tour golf, but I fixed a meal ribeye steaks marinated with Worcestershire and grape jelly. They were perfect. Also had shrimp and grits, and the shrimp included fresh garlic, jalapeno, and mushrooms.
Ooh.
And then scallops with special seafood spices. So I had an incredible buffet for the whole family. Everybody got a little bit of what they wanted, and I just kind of stayed with that big, juicy ribeye.
Ribeye, nothing wrong with that. Great. So nothing wrong with a ribeye.
Grape jelly marinade.
So that's
gotta try it. Yeah,
I was gonna say we're gonna have to get in the conversation, Tommy, again, since you bring up grape jelly, Clay, the sausage biscuit debate, grape jelly or not.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I like grape jelly. Honestly, a sausage biscuit. All right, as we close out the show, got a good Facebook message in here from Brad as related to Arkansas basketball and the decision with what's in Madison. Roses are red, violets are blue. Now we have Muss, and we're going to beat the crap out of you.
There you
could have sent that in.
Winner.
So great ending, Brad, to the show.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.